Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please like, share, review, and subscribe. We really do have to speak up sometimes, you know. But then there are also times we need to stay quiet, so that can be confusing and misleading. There's this really fine line between being non-appreciative and being taken advantage of. It's tricky. When someone's helping us out of the kindness of their heart, we should just have gratitude because it's more than we ever had before. But what happens when that person doesn't do what they told you that they would do, what you counted on them for? That's when it gets tricky and messy. And you wonder, do I speak up and tell them I'm disappointed and seem like an ass? Or do I just bite my tongue? And then that same concept sort of worms itself into all kinds of different things, and it becomes more and more complicated. And humans tend to do one of two things. Either we shut down and we don't say anything, or we completely lose our shit, you know? I am known for being very direct, but when it comes to someone not fulfilling what they said they would do for me, I do have trouble speaking up because I'm seeing that they're already giving me so much. And I always have this thing where I feel like, you know, you're doing this for me out of the kindness of your heart. How can I possibly complain about it? But then there's the flip side, right? I'm counting on things that don't happen. And so that sets me back to my old programming, which is if I don't do it for myself, then it's not real. It's never going to happen. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, the independence and the knowing that we can do things for ourselves part, right? It's tricky. It's not always that complicated though, right? Sometimes it's very simple. In fact, I just hosted a baby shower. Never ever hosted a baby shower before. And man, I didn't even know most of the people that were invited, right? Now, this was a moment. When I offered to do this, it was because I could feel that it needed to be done for this particular family. And so I offered. And I had one of two choices, right? Either do it all myself or ask for help. And so even though I had never received a sign-up sheet to help with a baby shower before, I sent one. I sent one to the entire group of a list of the things that I needed to have for the shower and who was willing to help. And do you know that every one of the things on my list got picked up by someone? And they didn't just do it. Man, they did it. Stephanie created these amazing games. They were really cute and fun, which is rare. And someone else brought a beautiful cake specifically designed for the mother. And this was a beautiful fun, right? Because if it's not fun, it's not here. And it just wouldn't have been the same without all their help. I couldn't have done it that well by myself. And most people who would try to pull off something like that by themselves would end up feeling a lot of resentment. Instead, I feel excited, right? Like all these people stepped up to help. I'm glad I asked, right? It can be something that simple. Ask for help, right? I was talking to a woman last week, and both she and her husband have lost their mothers recently, you know, within the past year. Their mothers were both of their go-to babysitters. And so these two have spent exactly zero time together without their children since the loss of their mothers. She's never once asked her best friend to watch her kids. When I brought that up, she looked at me like I was from another planet. She says, I can't believe it didn't even cross my mind to ask her to help. Of course she would help. And of course she'd be upset that I hadn't asked sooner. People want to help. They do. They want to help and they want to be asked. So that takes my mind back to what got me started talking today. What about the people who just offer it to you? What expectations do you have? What expectations are we allowed to have when someone is giving us their time or their talent, their energy, their love? Kind of not a lot, right? We have to have non-attachment. We have to not be attached to it. We have to look at their intentions. That's an interesting thing, too. I had a conversation with one of my husband's buddies at his poker night just this weekend. All right, so I guess this weekend is my inspiration. And he is about my age, a little bit older, had his family very young. So his children are adults. And he was talking about how different the child's perception of their life spent together, their growing up years, is from the adult. Now, from his perspective, which I do not view as universal, but he clearly does at this point in his life, he was saying that the child remembers what actually happened, that the parent remembers it through the filter of what they had intended to see happen or what they had intended the outcome of their effort be. I thought this was very revealing. And it sort of sent me into this catacomb of thoughts about intention and how different each of our perception is of the things that happened. I mean, from his perspective, here he was, 19 when he had his first child, growing up together with them and having this completely different experience of them. It's interesting. I appreciate how he was able to selflessly acknowledge that what the kids remembered was what happened. I found that enlightened. But it got me thinking, right? Especially now, especially with all these text messages that we send and how we communicate without hearing each other's voices or anything. And I got to thinking about these messages that we receive and how easy it is to put emotion over them, to put intention over them. Which takes me back to, what about these people who maybe let us down or don't live up to our expectations? The question is, did we actually verbalize our expectations? Did we really talk about it? Or did we just hear the words that they said and took them to mean what we wanted them to mean and said, yes, please? Or worse, no. Right? Why do we turn down people who offer to help us? That's crazy, right? When somebody offers to help us, we should say yes. There are no strings attached. I mean, even if the other person is holding strings, we don't have to pick them up. We don't have to tie them around our wrists and our ankles. We don't have to do that. We can look them in the eyes and say, thank you. But what we can't do, I guess, is get upset when they don't live up to our expectations. I mean, even when we verbalize them, right? I mean, it's our fault. If we tell somebody what we need, if you tell your spouse what you need and they make zero effort to give it to you, that's their fault, right? But if you never told them, that's your fault, right? If you never once said, I need dot, 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 right? Then it's your fault. And that's a weird thing that shifts in relationships when you take possession of that. I remember years ago, my husband saying, you know, why would you tell me that? Why wouldn't you just give me the opportunity to give that to you, to do that for you? And I said, well, because I need it. I want that so badly that if I don't tell you and I don't get it, I will be heartbroken and I'll have no one to blame but myself because we didn't have this conversation. And so, you know, that has to be done. It has to be done within our closest relationships, our spouses, even our children. We must say, we must state our intention, our expectation, or else we will be hurt. But how do we cross that line with someone who is not living in our home with us, right? Is not our immediate family. How do we be so pushy and so forward? I mean, I'm famous for saying that it never hurts to ask, right? my mentor, when I was a teacher, she taught me that, you know, it's easier to beg forgiveness than ask permission. I mean, maybe. I used to really buy into that, though, right? I don't know. I think this is a rhetorical question today because it's so malleable and it's so transcendent and it's different depending on the relationship and the circumstances. When are times that it's not okay to not speak up? A doctor, right? And I'm learning too with teachers, like my children's teachers. And this is a weird position for me to be because I did teach school for 15 years. But now as this school year comes to an end, I am realizing there were things that I should have said to my children's teacher from the very beginning. Now it's too late. I will never make that mistake again, right? And I have to admit, I had this weird fear that if I pushed her to the edge of her comfort zone, that if I made her uncomfortable, that she might take that out on my children, that she might treat them differently because I had pushed her. I'm not afraid of that anymore. And you shouldn't be either. I mean, I do think teachers are grossly underpaid and I give them lots and lots of credit. And they are human beings, right? Absolutely human beings. And they should be treated as such. And they're allowed to have a bad day or even a bad year. And I mean, this is a conversation I've had with several parents throughout this school year. But there is a line that gets crossed. And there were conversations that weren't had amongst me and other parents because we thought maybe it was just our kid and it was, I don't know, pride maybe. But now we're all realizing we had the same issues all school year long. That's not okay. We should have talked sooner. It should have come out sooner. We could have fixed it. It could have been fixed, right? And now it's too late. If it's going to get fixed, please, we're hoping, we're all hoping for next year's sake, for children in this class next year. We're hoping that this gets fixed anyway. But why did we not speak up sooner? There has been this pattern for my children. We end up in schools and situations quite often where something has to be fixed. Right, I actually had to call CBS on one of their CBS. I had to call CPS on one of their preschools when they were tiny. They didn't do anything to my kids. And I have to say, even the situation I'm talking about, it is relatively nothing for my children. But they are defenders of the defenseless. And so am I. So that's a mistake I won't make again. I will speak up sooner. Will you? Will you speak up sooner? And how will you know when it's something to fight for and something to be quiet about? There's this thing in our gut, right? I call it life pie. People who have talked to me in person, some of them I have discussed what I call life pie. And I usually draw it, so bear with me and use your imagination if that's possible for you. Imagine a pie, right? And of course, all the pies are slightly varying in size, but each slice of the pie is an area of your life, right? For me, one is being a mother, one is a wife, one is a life coach. One is a podcast person. One is a friend. One is a family member, right? Yours is probably work and home and children and friends and health and all these things. We all have similar pieces of our pie. And we all have different character traits that are stronger or sometimes absent depending on the piece of pie. And we have other people in our lives to force the pieces of pie to differ so that we continue to learn and grow. Right? If everything was super simple, we wouldn't learn anything, right? We'd never have to ask ourselves, what do I learn? How do I grow? Because it'd be boring and simple and nothing interesting would ever happen. And so we have to reflect on each piece of our pie, right? If I look at the piece of pie that I hold with my clients, I am very honest and direct, right? I do have a filter of what can they handle now and what can they not, right? What must wait? What must be tread lightly upon? And what needs to just be smacked atop of their head, right? This is an excellent trait, I think. Probably the one I'm the most proud of. And yet there are areas of life that it is not useful. You will not have friends if you treat all your friends that way, right? Your spouse will feel beat up. Your children will feel unseen. And so while I want to take that confidence, and remember that's mine, and that's a part of me, no matter which part of my life I'm in, I do have to tone it down a bit depending on which part of my pie that I'm in. Maybe you have extreme confidence in the workplace. Maybe you know exactly who you are and you play that role unbelievably well, but then you step into your personal life and you allow yourself to be run over. Don't do that. Look into that business side of you and remember that's you. Business you is actually you, and pull that into the core of who you are. Yes, filter it. You cannot treat your family or your friends exactly the way you do your employees or your coworkers, but you can take that confidence and you can bring it into who you are. We must remember that we have it all the time, that all of those strengths and those character traits from each of those pieces of pie are actually ours all the time. Some are filtered differently depending on the environment, but we should work with that same balance and confidence. So when you're in a piece of your pie and you're thinking, man, I'm really good at this, make sure that you remember that's not just me, the mom. That's me. That's not just me, the husband. That's me. That's not just me at work. That can be me all the time. That can be me on a date. That can be me in the world. That can be me taking control of my health. And that can certainly be me when I'm telling someone what I need, what my expectations are, or where they're not being met. Whether it's business related or family related or school related or health related. We need to remember to speak up, to ask questions. We need to remember to let our intentions be known and our expectations be known. And if not, we need to have exactly zero attachment to them. But you can't let zero attachment be your MO for life. You can't just say, I don't believe in anyone, I don't trust anyone, I don't ask anyone. You can't do that. The universe will shake your world upside down so that you have absolutely no choice but to rely on people. This is when people have, you know, a terrible accident or health crisis or something where they are forced to ask for help. They are forced to speak up and say what they need. Let's not be forced. Let's choose with care. Let's remember that we're all in this together. Yes, yes, most of you who are led to this podcast, we are in the spiritual awakening together, right? This is a point that I make on my Facebook page all the time. We're in this together. You're not alone. And this is true, and know it. And if you're not already a part of that, join us there. But we're in all this together life stuff too, right? All the parents in your kids' class, you're in this together. All of your coworkers, you're in that together. We're all in this life thing together. And people actually respond way better than predicted when we ask them for what we need, when we tell them we're having a hard time. It works. I know social media gets a bad rap and a lot of bad shit happens there. But if you reach out, somebody reaches back. I had a girl I went to high school with who was diagnosed with cancer. She has a bunch of children and a husband that's a police officer. They couldn't afford her treatment. We raised her like $35,000. People who barely remembered her, people who hadn't seen her in 20 years, right? Everybody pulled together. We had a fundraiser. We did all kinds of things. This was all thanks to Facebook. Reach out if you need help. Find a group. I'm not saying just like mass blast your concerns everywhere, but ask. Or if you know someone, ask. Ask them for help. Let them know what your expectations are. Or ask them, right? When they offer to help you, say, thank you. What can I expect? Thank you. Look people in the eyes and just say thank you. Or let them hear it in your voice. And remember, if you don't let your expectations be known, it's only your fault when they're not met. Let them be known. Let them be known kindly. And if you're in a situation like a couple that led me to this conversation today, where it feels like it's too late to voice your expectations, ask yourself a very specific question. Ask yourself, am I okay with things as they are? Or will I be disappointed if my idealization of this situation is not manifest? And act from that answer. If you are truly okay, no resentment, no regret, no nothing, then you can let things play out as they are. But if you will hold resentment or regret for not speaking up, if you can look a week, a month, 20 years into the future and recognize that you'll wish you should have said something, then say it. Speak up. Don't just let it slide. In almost no cases will it be the ending of a relationship. And if it is, you can be grateful for character revealed. If you are misunderstood, no matter how hard you try to be loving, the universe is just using you to write that other person's curriculum. And it's a Wu Wei situation. Wu Wei, the Taoist principle, that means I let the hard decisions make themselves. Sometimes our well intentions reveal a hole in the whole story, a crack in a relationship, and occasionally it's an ending. Wu Wei. Rest in the truth, though, it's usually a new beginning. So speak your mind, beloved. Don't be afraid, don't hesitate. Don't be afraid of someone's judgment, because when someone judges you, they're really just revealing their own character. Until next time, beloved, namaste. Thank you so much for joining me today for this week's episode of Lessons from the Universe. If you love it, please help us attract a bigger audience, more people like you ready to continue down this path to awakening. If you love the podcast, please like, share, review, and let me know how you found me so I can find others just like you. Till next week, beloved. Namaste.